Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode number 154 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh. What we do on this show is talk about all things recovery. I am a life coach and a recovering alcoholic, but I also believe everybody is recovering from something. Life is super challenging. We all go through things. We all have ups and downs, and we're all recovering from the journey. So where I talk a lot about substance abuse, of course, because I'm a recovering alcoholic, and that's what catapulted me into my journey of self-discovery and personal development and self-help and all those great things. I talk a lot about substance, but there's also in my journey of recovery from alcoholism, I've had all of these other rock bottom moments, right? With breakups and business and work and family stuff. You know, like everybody, we're all recovering from stuff. So that's what we do on this show. We focus on how to get better as individuals, not looking at other people, blaming other people, places, things for our problems, but really figuring out how to become the best people we can be as individuals, because we're the only ones we have control over, right? I can't control what anybody else does or how they behave or if they're working on themselves or not working on themselves. I only have that power within me and myself, and that's where I want you to be. And you're going to love this topic today too. You know, every once in a while, I come across an article that I love to share with you. And I have one today that I found on Medium, which is a fabulous place to come across articles and blogs and things like that, medium.com. And I will share the link to the actual article in the show notes if you want to read the whole thing. And I'll explain that a little bit more in a minute. Before we jump into that, I want to say thank you to everybody who has been joining us on Clubhouse. And I think I announced this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but I was telling you guys we just started doing a piece, Sober Sunday, on the Clubhouse app. And I don't know if you've heard about Clubhouse. It's pretty new, but it has gotten a lot of notoriety in recent months. It has gotten very popular very quickly. And it is changing pretty quickly too. So what I want to say is right now, as I'm recording this, it's only available for iPhones. It's in beta testing. So that is changing very fast, though. So if you go on, you get on the wait list, so to speak. If you know someone who's already on Clubhouse, they can send you an invite. But otherwise, you get on the wait list. I don't know how long it takes to get approved. When I did it, I went on, got on the wait list, and one of my friends was already on there and saw that I was on the wait list. So he sent me an invitation, which was awesome. But we're doing a piece. When I say we, I mean me and my friend Brock Bevel from Chase the Vase podcast. We're doing a piece called Sober Sunday. And this is not traditional, like, support group style. Really what we're doing is, Brock's been sober a long time also. He's got a killer story. And he's just a smart guy. And we present a question, basically, as kind of our topic. And everybody else in the room that joins the room can kind of chime in with our question and share their thoughts and their experience. So it's not support group style. It's super inspirational, motivational. I love hearing from you guys. You know, the greatest thing we can do is share ourselves and share our stories. So if you want to jump on the Clubhouse app, you can find us there, Sober Sunday. My Clubhouse that I think you can search, and I'm just learning this too, you guys, so bear with me. I just started my own Clubhouse or club. I think that's what it's called. It's a club on Clubhouse. My club is called Master Yourself, and Sober Sunday falls under that Master Yourself. So you can probably search Master Yourself. You'll find me. You'll find Sober Sunday. You'll find Brock on there. And keep us in mind. If you're not doing anything on Sunday morning, you might want to jump on the Clubhouse app and get in that Sober Sunday chat. It's so good. And I'm going to start doing some other ones, some coaching ones, just general life coaching stuff. So I'll keep you posted on that too. But anyway, that's Clubhouse, Sober Sunday. We celebrate waking up sober on Sunday morning, hangover free, which is one of my favorite things every morning. I love being hangover free and having a clear mind and getting ready to start my day and tackle my day, knowing that really I can achieve whatever I want because I don't have anything mucking up my brain, right? I'm keeping the signal clear. That's what I love. So that's that. Clubhouse Sober Sunday, me and Brock Bevel from Chase the Vase podcast. Let's jump into this topic. I found this article that is fantastic. It's called Seven Little Things That Can Tell You a Lot About Someone. That's the actual article by Anthony Jung. Now, I have adapted this because these are great things to tell you about someone, other people. But I like us to be self-focused, right? So I want you to think about these things and how they apply to you. Like, where are you? What grade are you making in these little seven things that we're going to talk about? And that's why I titled this episode, Seven Little Things That Say a Lot About You. Because I always, where it's great to observe other people and be aware of other people, and that's how we learn a lot about ourselves. Like, I can watch how somebody else is handling a situation and go, oh, wow, I like how they did that. Or, nah, that doesn't really fit for me. I wouldn't do it that way. We assess, right? And that's okay. But I don't want you to get too focused on other people because we don't have control of those things. So I always like us to be focused on ourselves. And how do we meet up to these qualifications, so to speak, and these ways that we assess the world and assess other people? Because I want to make sure that I'm bringing my A game to my friendships, to my work relationships, to my clients, to my family. I want to be the best person I can be for everyone, right? So I have to stay focused on me and how I'm doing, my own standards, right? Okay, so here we go. Seven little things that say a lot about you. And I'm going to go through this article. Like I said, I will link to the actual article in the show notes, so you'll be able to get there on medium.com. Number one, how they keep their commitments. They're not always big, like swearing under oath or wedding vows, but we actually make a lot of commitments in life. Like, I'll let you know about the meeting by Friday. I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'll call you at 6 p.m. Yet we don't always keep them. Life happens. It's important to give some leeway. But if you notice a pattern where someone fails to follow through with any of their commitments, or regularly changes them, it can reveal someone who isn't reliable, doesn't hold themselves accountable for the things they say, or doesn't value you all that much. Okay, that's what Anthony writes. Now let's flip this. You guys know I talk about this all the time, being dependable. This is so important, being on time, following through on things. We talk about this literally probably in most of my episodes. So think about this. How are you doing on keeping your commitments? Do you agree to something and then constantly change it? Are you not holding yourself accountable? Are you letting yourself off the hook and rationalizing why you're late or why you're canceling or why you're changing the plans? Personal accountability is huge. I have to be on the hook for myself to follow through on things. And when I was bad at this, it was exactly like what his last sentence says, or doesn't value you all that much. That's exactly what it was for me. When I wasn't dependable It's because I was so selfish and self-absorbed, I didn't value the other person and their time. All I thought about was me and what I was doing and what was important to me and letting myself off the hook when I couldn't follow through on something or I couldn't be on time. Super important. How do you keep your commitments? Number two, I don't like how this is phrased, but bear with me. I'm going to read what he wrote. Number two, how they treat people below them. Now, what he means is, I think he says it in here. Let me just read it. He has a quote, Malcolm S. Forbes, "You can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him." A common test is how people treat service staff at restaurants, cafes, etc. I think the bigger picture is how people treat those who can do absolutely nothing for them or to them. Strangers on the street, people selling flowers on the sidewalk, janitors, people, quote unquote, below their position at work. How does someone treat those people or talk about them? It can tell you a lot. I do love this. This is so huge because I try to be in line with who I want to be, and I want to be a kind person. Now, you also have heard me say a million times, that's not always an easy one for me. I can be a real jerk, and I have struggled with a temper my whole life, right? So I can be a real jerk. I have worked through most of that, and I am way better, but that piece of me is still inside me, right? So I want to be a kind person. I know how I want people to feel when they walk away from a conversation with me or they hang up the phone from a conversation with me. I don't want you to feel bad when we have an interaction. So I try to be really mindful of that. And that means with everyone. It doesn't have anything to do with what someone's job is or what they're doing or who they are. I'm going to be kind because I am kind. But you can't only be kind if you want something from somebody, right? So be mindful of that. How do you treat people that can't do anything for you or that you don't want anything from them? Number three, how their car looks. I really love this one too, because we talk about micro decisions on here. And I talk about when I see the little things in my life getting messy or scattered, it's a pretty good indicator that the big things in my life are probably a little messy in that moment too. Because if I'm not handling the little things, chances are I'm not handling the big things. So how the car looks is a good one. And this is so good for me because this is one of the first things I notice, especially when you're busy, especially when you're parents and you've got kids in and out of your car. Sometimes I will pull my car in the garage at the end of the week, right? After a super busy week running around like a crazy person, and I'll notice just all the stuff that has piled up. There's always a million empty bottles of water, right? Because I take bottled water with me everywhere all the time. There's always a million empty protein drinks and some random garbage and stuff I picked up at the post office and stuff that I just haven't taken inside, right? Trash. So I have to take that moment and go, oh, wow, okay, this is a hot mess. Let's figure this out. Here's what the author wrote. Years ago, I had a client who was a surgeon at a leading hospital and who used to interview new residents. I'll never forget what he told me. He said, "It's not allowed, but I'd love to just go to the parking lot and see inside their car." He writes, "It wasn't to judge the kind of car they drove or how fancy it was. It was to look inside and see if it was clean, organized, and tidy, or if there were food wrappers, empty soda cans everywhere." And he had a point. And he goes on to talk about a book, Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking, Malcolm Gladwell, who's one of my favorites, shared a study where the personality of 80 students was assessed by those students' closest friends versus complete strangers who only spent 15 minutes visiting their bedrooms. The complete strangers were more accurate. Ooh, that is fascinating, you guys. So the article says, obviously, if you can visit someone's home, even better. But anytime you get a ride from someone, it might tell you quite a bit about a person, their identity, behaviors, how they think and feel. How you do one thing is how you do everything. I mean, he just nailed it right there. Just like we always talk about micro decisions, how you do the little things is also how you do the big things. So, so, so important. So take a look at your car and see and see what you learn about yourself. I'll tell you right now, today, if I look at my car, it's full of supplies for my sober living houses. So it's not going to bode well, but it is temporary. All right. Number four, how they act when they make a mistake. Now remember, he's talking about other people. How they act when they make a mistake. We all make mistakes, but when you address it in a respectful, kind, and fair way, how do they respond? Do they apologize and commit to avoiding it? Do they make excuses, get defensive, or go silent? Do they blame you, accuse you of making it a big deal, or go back in time and list your transgressions? Sadly, I've had to let a lot of friends go because of this, but it was the right decision. I believe the true mark of a person isn't how they act when things are going well. It's how they act when things are not going well. There's always going to be some conflict and disagreements in any relationship, but how they respond in those moments can reveal a lot about their character and ego. Wow, did he nail it there? For sure. And the next one is, how do they act when you make a mistake, right? So this is mirroring one another, especially when we have an argument. And when I work with couples, I talk about this a lot because it's easy for things to go well when things are going well. But you really learn a person's true character and integrity and emotional intelligence when things aren't going well. So how do you act when you make a mistake? Do you own it? Do you apologize? Or are you making excuses, getting defensive, giving the silent treatment, blaming the other person, and launching into, well, you do this and you do that? You know, where do you fall in that? And how do you act when someone else makes a mistake? Are you respectful? Do you take it in stride? When you're in these moments of discomfort, right? When a conversation starts to feel like an argument, we have to check ourselves. I have to know who I am and who I want to be. I have to remember that the person I'm talking to is someone I love and respect, and I want to treat them with love and respect. I have to be mature enough to hear them out and understand there is probably some truth in what they're saying, even if it doesn't feel good, even if it's not highlighting my best qualities. We are not all rainbows and kittens. We have issues. It's not the end of the world if somebody else points out my issues. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm not going to blow it out of proportion. I'm not going to turn it into a huge fight or argument or take low blows or name calling or tell them everything they've ever done wrong, right? Because I'm not 12. So really check yourself in how you're behaving in these situations. How do you act when you make a mistake? How do you act when someone you care about makes a mistake? How are you receiving that? How are you owning that? That was 4 and 5. Okay, number 6, how they act with people they want something from. I've noticed some people have a split personality. For example, when some guys see women they're attracted to, they suddenly act friendly and happy. Once those women leave, they're back to their old selves. I knew guys like that, and if we went out on a Saturday night, their eyes would dart all over the room searching for women as they half listened to their friends. The thing about people like this is they don't really have an established sense of self. Who they are changes completely depending on who they talk to. And they only put on their A game when they're around a person they like, they admire, or they want something from. Do they put on a special show around certain people? Do they kiss up to people above them while ignoring people below them? Do they friend hop to climb their way up the social ladder? Take notice. This is fantastic. And I've really been thinking about this since I've read it. Of course, applying it to myself, because you know that's what I love to do, is really check myself, just like I want you to check yourself. So I was thinking about this, and I know for sure I did this when I was younger and much less healthy. Without a doubt, I did this. And it's because I was so insecure about who I was on the inside. So I love that he included this in his list, because of course, it's just an indicator about someone's self-esteem. It's an indicator of how they feel about themselves. When you are comfortable and confident in who you are, you get to just be the same all the time, no matter who you're talking to, whether you want something from them or they can do something for you or not, because that's not what you're thinking about. You're just authentically being you. And I know I did this a ton. I was such a chameleon when I was unhealthy, and I would always do whatever anybody else wanted to do, especially with boys. I was really terrible about this when I was unhealthy, because I just didn't have any sense of self. I didn't know who I was or what I wanted. And I wanted so badly to be liked that I would just mold myself to be whatever they were and go to the places they liked to go and hang out with their friends and like the things that they liked, because I was so insecure and I had no idea who I was. And I didn't want to rock the boat, and I didn't want to ruin it, and I didn't want them to not like me. So I was just this weird chameleon. And I see it so clearly now. Of course, hindsight's always 20/20. I didn't know that's what I was doing in the moment, but I can see it now and how different I am now that I have that sense of self and I know who I am. So think about this for you. Do you have a solid sense of self? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you want to be in the world? What do you like? What do you dislike? How do you like to spend your time? Are you living authentically to who you are? All right, last one, number 7. How their real life compares to social media life. He writes, I once knew a guy who was obsessed with how he was portrayed on social media. His posts, profiles, and stories were designed to present him in the best light possible. Yet in reality, he was just a relatively average guy who was good at his job. And he goes on, has some more on here, but this to me was so indicative of what I always talk about in that dual life that we have, especially in addiction, but certainly obviously we can have it in every other way too, right? If your home life isn't that happy, you can still go to your office and portray like everything's great. You can post on social media your best family vacay photos and people think that everything's perfect in your world. We create this duality. And the unfortunate part of that is when you create the duality and you have an outside picture that doesn't match what's going on the inside, right? It doesn't match the truth. Then you feel like a fraud because you're constantly hiding what's really going on. You're creating a picture to create a sense of what your life is, but it's not the truth. What's interesting to me too with social media is that you have to go out of your way to post that stuff on social media to create that picture, when you could just post 1,000 other things, right? You really don't have to create that picture at all. And again, this is a duality that you see in so many different walks of life, in so many different situations for different people. But you know for sure it's huge in addiction. And something I think is interesting also is when people will tell me, people always say this as some sort of, I'm not sure if it's a rationalization or if it's an excuse. It's kind of how people try to talk themselves out of believing they have a problem with drinking. And they say, oh, nobody would believe that I'm an alcoholic. My friends don't even know how much I drink. If I told them I was an alcoholic, they'd say, oh, no, you're not. You don't have a problem. And the interesting thing is we go out of our way to create that. We put a lot of care and energy into hiding what we're doing from our friends and family. So you can't be surprised when they don't know how much you drink, right? And it's not a rationalization that you don't have a drinking problem. It's just that you put a lot of time and energy into hiding it because you didn't want people to know. So of course they don't know. It doesn't mean there's no problem. It doesn't mean you don't need to stop. It just means you hit it, which is what everybody does. So think about this really. How does your real life compare to your social media life? Or how does your real life compare to the picture you create for other people? Are you being authentic in that? Are you being authentic in what's really going on? Are you comfortable being down when you're feeling down? Are you comfortable if things aren't going great at home? Are you comfortable owning that? Or do you feel like you have to make up a story to tell people because you don't want them to know things aren't great at home? Now, listen, that doesn't mean you have to launch into your whole story and tell everybody all your deep, dark secrets. I'm not saying that at all. But you also don't have to create a picture like everything is perfect, because all it does is messes with your own head and gives you a sense of dissonance because things don't match, and it makes you feel bad about yourself because it's not authentic. You're intentionally creating an outside picture that doesn't match what's actually going on the inside. I hope that makes sense. So those are the things. I want you to really think about this in yourself, not other people. Stop looking at other people, but I want you to really think about this list for yourself. Okay, let's recap. 1, how do you keep your commitments? Are you dependable? 2, how do you treat other people? How do you treat people? Like he said, strangers on the street, people selling flowers on the sidewalk, janitors, how do you treat those people? 3, how does your car look? Is it tidy? Is it clean? I remember getting in my friend's car one time. This was several years ago. And it wasn't like there wasn't a bunch of trash everywhere, but it was really dirty. I mean, there were like spilled coffee, spill spots all over everything. And yeah, it was kind of weird. Now I need to go check my car. How does your car look? Is it cleaned up? It tells a lot about you. 4, how do you act when someone else makes a mistake? And 5, how do you act when you make a mistake? So when somebody else makes a mistake, are you kind and forgiving? Do you allow them some grace and really let it go? Or do you hold a grudge or try to punish them with the silent treatment? And then for you, when you make a mistake, do you own it? Are you stepping up and going, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry how I handled that. That's not how I wanted that to go at all. I'm going to work on getting my temper in check, or whatever the thing is. Or are you taking low blows immediately? If somebody says something you don't like, you're launching into a list of every mistake they've ever made to put it back in their face. Really look at these things. How do you handle this stuff? Like, are we being grown-ups in this, or are we being teenagers in this? 6, how they act with people they want something from. How do you act with people you want something from? Are you that chameleon? Do you have a different personality when other people come around, and then when they walk away, you go back to being yourself? And 7, how does your real life compare to your social media life? And I don't want you to focus on just the social media life. I want you to really think about in your actual life, when you leave your home, the comfort of your bubble, and you go out in the world, are you being authentic? Does it match? Are you okay being not okay when things aren't okay? Or are you going out of your way to create a picture that isn't true, because all that does is messes with your own head and makes you feel bad because you're not being honest? That's what I want you to think about, okay? I will link to this article in the show notes. I love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and spending some time with me. And don't forget, if you're not busy Sunday morning, jump on the Clubhouse app and join us for Sober Sunday. I hope you're having a fantastic day. I'll see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thank you.